But like I said, I was driven to a tired state. I got really
You were sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in other words, you're saying the same thing I said. There's the problem is not being broke.
Right.
The problem is staying broken.
Right.
See, yeah. Some of us want to stay broken. We you know, that old adage, misery loves company.
Yeah.
We like to stay broken because we like to throw ourselves pity parties. We stay broken because we don't know no other way to be, because we haven't took time out to look at our lives. We haven't took time out to look at what the problem is, what the situation is.
Right.
So we stay in that stagnated place.
Right.
And you know, like I know, what happens to water when it stagnates? It begins to stink.
Yeah.
Stagnated water. Have you had some stagnated water outside your house?
Yes, I have. I was about to say, I know. Yeah, I have.
And sooner or later, it attracts mosquitoes, attracts bugs and bacteria, and all those things begin to happen and they stack. See, so when our soul is stagnated,
right.
When we're broken, we're in a stuck place.
Mm-hmm.
Cause when your car is broken, do it move?
No.
It's stuck until what?
Until it gets fixed.
There you go. So, have you ever noticed if it sit there long enough, you see oil leaks, and you begin to see water leaks?
Right.
So if that's true with something that's man-made, then what happens to us in that spiritual sense?
The same things happen. The same. I mean,
we can't achieve growth. Our prayer life suffers.
Yeah.
Our worship suffers. Our communication with God suffers. Because we broke. I see those movies and when the ladies are broke, they all go get the ice cream. Go get them some ice cream. Now, I'm not saying that that's true, but they go get them some ice cream. I'm going to put you down, brother. You're getting heavy. They go get them some ice cream.
Right.
And I guess the ice cream is smoothing over or working through. Okay. Yeah. And in a physical sense, I can understand that. But what do we go get in the spiritual sense? Because we don't go get that, but enough, we go quarrel. We go tell our friends about our brokenness.
Right.
We go seek the counsel of a friend. And y'all stop me when I'm starting lying. We don't get the counsel of the friend that's healthy.
Right.
The friend that's going to tell us, I need you to pray. I need you to seek Jesus. I need you to have a conversation with the Lord. But we tend to go seek the counsel of the person that's more broken than we are. Come on.
So, I think that is true. Don't get me wrong. But I think at what point of this brokenness? Now, this is the thing like this.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's
hot.
So, what I'm saying is like this is, now there was a time that in a broken state, because not realizing the depth of my brokenness, yes, I would talk to the people that was going to relate to me, that, like you said, misery loves company, because we're going to sit and we're going to talk and we're going to magnify this issue. Now, when it came to a certain state, God put me in a place of isolation.
Okay.
Where I couldn't seek out nobody. Nobody was available. Let me tell you like that.
And the only person you could seek out was him.
The only person I could seek out was him.
Okay.
But like I said, it took a certain point in that brokenness for me to realize, okay,
and I don't deny that, because we all have to go through the process.
Yes.
We all have to go through the process. But in our brokenness is we need to seek God.
Right.
And in our brokenness, we shouldn't get further away from God, but we should get closer to God.
Right.
Because to go get your car fixed, you got to go find a mechanic.
Yes, you do.
Okay, so if your body is ailing you, you go see a doctor.
Right.
So if you're spiritually and mentally broke, then you need to go seek out the one that made you, who knows all about you. Know,
right.
You're laying down and you're rising up. So for us to stay broke, for us to stay in a broken state, you know what we end up doing? Breaking others.
Yeah, that's true.
When we stay in a broken state, we end up breaking others.
That's true.
So, we end up breaking our friends. We end up breaking our family. Why? Because it's our misery. And if they stick around with us, if they hang in there, have you ever known somebody who complains so much that when you see them coming, you'd be like, oh, Jesus. Why? Because they bring your spirit down. They bring your countenance down. You don't wanna be stuck in the same place that they stuck in. But if you hang around and listen to them long enough, what happens to you? You start feeling like that. So staying broken is a problem. It's a problem. And how do we remedy that problem? With God. With a better prayer life. You know, you press in.
Right. But let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
So, but everybody don't realize that it's brokenness. I mean,
why wouldn't you?
Because
I'm asking. Tell me why.
Because sometimes it's just like, if you've done something for years, and it's just a part
like
of what
this.
You do, and you don't see it as a problem, you just don't see it as a problem.
Okay, but now tell me this. In them same years that you've been doing that something, it yields you no fruit.
As crazy as it sounds, and I know, I mean, it's insanity. It's insanity. But for some reason, it's just because that's all I know.
So, but let me ask you this. So I'm trying to make a plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to the grocery store, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get your basket.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you want to do with your basket?
I want to fill up the groceries.
Okay. So I'm at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I got my basket.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking down the aisles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking down the aisles and I see that I want some Frosted Flakes.
Mm-hmm.
But I just see that I want them, but I keep on passing.
Stop talking. Stop talking.
I see that I want some meat. I see that we need some ground beef. We need this. We need that. We need soap. We need bleach. We need. Did you understand what I'm saying? I go by all these aisles.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
But I never picked this up. But I go take my basket back to where I got it from and walk out the store. What good did it do me?
It didn't do no good. That's what I'm
saying. In fact, what else?
I think that people continue to do brokenness because there's no honesty and accountability. When
yes.
people are not honest Explain. With you, like that, for instance, in 2010, somebody say, oh, I walk on eggshells when I be around you. In 2015, I walk on edge. I feel like I have to be careful what I say to you. Then in 2017, it's like you need enough accountability for it to be a pattern of this is who you are. But if nobody brings it to the carpet, where's the mirror? Unless you're the Word of God, where's the mirror to say this is me? Because it's kind of hard for for us to see we got crust on our face unless we in the mirror. So it's like, where do you resolve brokenness if it's no accountability to your being broken? Okay. How do you know? It could be a family pattern. It could be a generational thing. It could be a trauma response. Like, how do you come away from that if you don't even know it's there?
Okay, I'm holding on that thought, please.
I feel like sometimes people can know you're, like, you can know you're broken.
Where are you going?
But you don't want, it's not that you don't want to do anything about it, it's that you don't have enough willpower to do what's required to get out of it, you know? Like, when you go to God, he's going to require something from you. And a lot of the time,
okay, hang on right there. Hang on right there. You keep that requirement. Okay. You said that, okay, somebody comes to you and they tell you, well, you do this, and I feel like I need to walk on eggshells around you. Okay. And so, and you also mentioned the point that it's a family, what'd you say? Family curse? Is that what you said?
Right.
I don't want to say
that.
Okay. Something that your family does. Okay, let me ask you a question. So, is there something in your family that you notice that is the same around about? Just in general, something about your family that you know that's the same around about. Okay. Do you look at it and say, this is good or this is a problem?
No, I look at it as this is normal.
So you said the environment, okay. So you said some of your broken can be the environment that you raise that
money. Right, because it's normal. Like my family on my mom's side, they get together, all the young people go smoke weed outside, all the old people go in and talk about God. This is normal. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a normal, like that's the family dynamic, period. Like it's a known fact, this is exactly what's gonna happen.
Okay,
so
now
you got two options, so that's normal. That's not
okay, so you
come to that environment, you're not looking like, oh Lord, it's, I don't know what's going on.
And I understand what you're saying, environmental situation, but okay. But this is my question.
Mm-hmm.
Does something in you say, hey, even if you just look at the law, does something in you say, well, nah, this is probably something we should be doing?
Of course.
Hold on. Or you look at the elders and you see the elders don't want to be around that because
it's a perspective though, because I don't look at it like that. I look at it like all the elders are these people's parents. So they're not looking down on them. They're just trying to be away from something they don't do.
Oh, and they gotta go look down on them. Or they look down on them, but they probably won't just say it to them straight.
Yeah, because it's like you're grown, I'm gonna pray for you. That's how my aims are. It's like I'm gonna pray for you, give you like your opportunity to live life, but my prayers is that you come into the fold. So it's like they stay away from it, but they know that this is a thing that's been happening from generation to generation.
But I'm gonna ask the question I'm asking is,
okay.
So you see is that it's legally wrong. You because you don't just pop up in the stone and be like, I'm here one while I'm waiting in line for my, right?
Right.
Why not?
Because I'm trying to go to jail.
And the Bible says do what?
Be sober-minded.
And obey the laws of the land.
Yeah.
That ain't, that's not what it's talking about. You finna say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so it says obey the laws of the land.
Right.
So in the aspect that you say somebody needs to point it out to you, it's already been pointed out.
But what if your vice is not illegal or hurting at all?
Give me answers, because I there's no vice that's not hurting. So please give me answers. There's no vice in this world that's not hurting.
Something harmless but harmful.
Okay, so say for instance, you sitting around, like we're at a gathering, we're sitting around and we're talking.
Okay.
We're talking some business, not our own.
You're talking about somebody's business.
We're talking about other people's business. Okay.
Okay.
But that person has left the room and everything like this, everybody know what they got going on. We're not bringing it to them.
we're talking about them, away from them. Okay? So, but the thing, what we're talking about
let this is mind.
Their issue. Their issue. We
and when you say the issue, what are you saying?
Like say for instance, just
when you're talking about the issue, let's understand, is it an issue that, hey, they cheating, or is it an issue
say for instance, we're talking about somebody and their mate is just doing them wrong. Cheating.
Okay.
Okay. You know your man is cheating. Everybody in this room knows your man is cheating. You just not willing to face the fact that your man is cheating. So we can't tell you because we didn't try to tell you, but you don't want to listen. You still with him. So we're sitting around
just
this cheating man knowing anytime he do any kind of movement or anything like that, we ready to say, oh, well, he probably put to get on the phone. They probably call somebody else. We're talking about that. We're talking about that.
Okay. So, and you say that's harmless.
And harmful.
It's harmful.
It's because it's not illegal, but it's harmful spiritually.
It's not illegal to this world.
Yes.
But it's illegal in your spiritual realm.
Yes. Right, but this think of things.
About a solution. In our minds, we justified it because we're wanting to.
Yeah, in your mind, you justified it. I like how you said that.
We've justified this because we're trying to find out a solution that's going to make her leave her man. What can we do? We need to catch him up to find a way for her to leave this man that she knows is habitual.
So let me
not going to leave it up to her.
So this is what we're going to do for her.
Yeah, we took it there.
Why didn't we take it there?
We didn't take it there because at the end of the day,
why didn't we just pray for him?
Okay.
Pray for our situation. Pray for him.
Okay, so when you, let's just be honest. In a lot of family dynamics,
because
you got everybody sold out
for Jesus.
For Jesus. we're going to.
But it don't take.
It's only going to be one or two of us that's over here like, we need to pray. And we're probably like.
It don't take everybody. Yeah. To be sold out for Jesus, it just take one.
It does. You're absolutely right. And that has to be somebody that stands 10 toes down and be like, you know what? I'm not getting in that discussion.
Okay. So stay there. You said 10 toes down and I'm coming to you. 10 toes down. How do we get there?
I haven't made up mine. I've got a made up mind to the degree that, you know what? I'm with Jesus. I'm following the precepts because I know what it's like to be broken.
Okay.
Now that took a process, like you said, that is a process.
So the same process that you went through, and we can understand this for each and every one of us. It might have took me a week, and it might have took you 2 weeks.
Right.
So that process is not the same for all of us.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the process is not to stay broken, not to stay in our brokenness, and not to live there.
Right.
See, the problem is we take up residence in brokenness.
Yeah, that's true.
We take up residence.
Right.
You know, hold that, because I want to really talk about that. Say what you said again, baby.
What?
When you were talking about, you said something about...
willpower.
Yeah, willpower. Okay, so you said you don't have the willpower to change.
Oh, yeah, because God is going to ask you for stuff, and you 9 times out of 10 is stuff that you don't want to give up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
come on now.
Let's talk about a job. There's a such thing as a job, and there's a such thing as a career. Do we know the difference in those?
Yeah.
Okay, nobody is looking to be their career. I'm working at McDonald's and I'm flipping burgers on the grill and I'm dropping fries.
Right.
Now, when we was kids.
That's a $1 deal.
Hey, and when we was kids and we got that job, couldn't nobody tell us nothing. Because we're like, I got a job, I'm such. But it's when you got older. When you got older, You got physically older and physically mature that you said, hey, I can't stay at McDonald's flipping burgers and dropping fries because it's not meeting my needs. So now you go to get a career. To go get a career, what does a career require? Yes, there you go. What does it require? Come on.
A degree or certificate or
something you don't want to do, huh?
Yeah.
But you got to support yourself, huh? And McDonald's just ain't working it. So what do you end up doing?
Put it in blood, sweat, and tears.
So you, huh? I remember, and I tell the story a couple of times. I tell my kids when I got out of school. When I got out of school, all it took was a diploma. Mm-hmm. It just took a diploma.
Right.
And you could basically go get a job anywhere.
Right.
But guess what? It changed.
Nowadays.
And I used to tell them that all the time. But you know what God told me? Stop telling them that. And start being an example.
Right.
So I went back to school.
Right.
Got me a bachelor's degree.
Right.
So you need to find an example of somebody pressing through even when they didn't want to.
Right.
Does that make sense? Pressing through even though it was hard. Pressing through even though it required something from you. Because this is the difference with God. Look, we always say to ourselves, hey, when I retire, I'm going to have my retirement from my job. I don't have my Social Security. And we've been paying into it, right? Mm-hmm. We don't even have a choice about paying into it.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is when we retire, it might not even be here.
Right.
So you gave into something that ain't gonna even give back to you.
Right.
But with God, you give into something that keeps on giving back to you. Over and over again, even when we mess up,
right,
he keeps giving back to us. So everything puts a requirement on us, even though we don't realize it.
Right. Right.
Everything puts a requirement. Listen, for me to smoke cigarettes, it put a requirement on it. Because what I got to do?
Pay.
Listen, I got a friend. Asked me, I was going over his house one day. So Reedy called me. And he said, can you stop and give me a pack of cigarettes? I said, yeah, I can do that. I was home. So I walked in the store, and you know, they got their specific kind of cigarettes they want to smoke. I walked in the store and the lady said $12. I said, what? She said $12. I said, I just want one pack of cigarettes. I didn't ask for a cord. I just want one.
You ain't never
smoked. No. So, listen, Diana. I was gonna pay for the man's cigarettes and be cool with it. When I got to his house, I wanted my money back.
Yeah.
I want, $10 give me a quart of gas. And they didn't cost $10, they cost 12 some.
Right.
It, that's a requirement, right? Because in order to smoke this brand, it's a requirement. Then I got to do what? I got to buy me a lighter. Then, and then it requires that I mess up my lungs. It's a requirement.
Yeah.
Right? You sound like a woman now, but if you keep smoking, yes, you're going to sound like me. So it's a requirement to it, right?
Yeah.
Are we on the same page?
We are.
So even when you think something doesn't have a requirement on it, it does. Everything has a requirement on it. Can't lay in the bed all day.
Right.
Some of us want to, but if you lay in the bed all day, what happens? You get bed sores.
Right.
It's a requirement, huh? But to get up, it requires you to do what? Put on some clothes.
Right.
To move. Everything has requirements on it.
But what if it's a thorn that God is allowing to sit in you as a reminder. And what I'm saying like this, not to downplay brokenness. I mean, because I think that you have to reach a level of wholeness. Some brokenness is because of immaturity. And Paul said it best. When I was a child, I reasoned as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Mm-hmm. There is just some brokenness that just is immaturity.
But let me ask you that while we're there. So it's safe to say that just because I'm 21 doesn't mean I'm a man.
Right. Right. I think that Joe, growing, especially in Christ, has to do with you letting some things go. Some things that have been habitual, some things, some patterns that you recognize and realize, hey, this ain't healthy. You gotta let that go. Sometimes we're just in certain states in our mind that just needs some growing up.
I want to go back to what you said because it touched on what she said. So you said, as you grew up, you recognized some things that wouldn't help you.
Right.
So it didn't take nobody else shining the mirror on it. It took you sitting down.
It took me sitting down and realizing, okay, you know what? This is insane.
Sometimes
it takes a mirror, yeah. But it doesn't always.
It don't.
I never said it always. But I was just saying.
But I think on the flip side of that, I do think that God will allow some residue of, how can I say this, a residue of a thorn, so that we don't get beside ourselves. Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, are you saying something to keep you humble?
Something that will bring about that humility. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying necessarily brokenness that will break other people, but what I am saying is that there is a thorn that some of us have that is just a residue of like, okay, remember, you were just...
But that's not... Okay, so it has nothing to do with brokenness. He says, I know the thoughts I have for you.
Right.
And what are they?
Plans to prosper you.
Okay. So, if he's going to prosper you and he's going to keep you in brokenness, that's a quantity. Them two don't mix.
No. I mean, I know. No, I'm not.
Now, listen. I understand the residue, but the residue of you remembering so you don't make this mistake again, that's kind of like when people go to Alcohol Anonymous and things like that, they give them the coins. And the coin, and then you got a sponsor. Okay, those folks are there not to help you remember, but to keep you on the track of, hey, this is what this comes with.
Okay, I guess my question is, sometimes can things be mislabeled?
Yes.
Can be mislabeled as brokenness. Okay, just like, say for instance, like a person that is just have like a hard exterior. It's not that they're just that's not them. It's just a shell. But the moment that they've opened up and they brought certain vulnerabilities to people and they're just like, you know, it just was used in the most wrongest way, you know what I'm saying? Now they're shielding themselves. And
yeah, you lost me.
Okay, so like say for instance, there's a person that they choose that they're not really just the most friendliest person. Okay. And so, but the reason why they're not so friendly is because they've been hurt. They've been hurt by people. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Now, there's a willingness to be open, but I'm not going to be open to everybody. Everybody cannot get that close to me. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But on the outside, people will probably mislabel them and say, you know what? Yeah, they broken. Somebody that did that, but all they're trying to do is trying to protect themselves. They're trying to keep the wrong people out. Not saying that their method is necessarily right, but what they're doing though, they're shielding themselves.
I understand what you're saying, but you still know that's operating in brokenness, right? Okay, listen.
Okay. Maybe so.
God meant for us to love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if God shielded himself? What if Jesus shielded himself? And listen, he already knew what was going to happen. So what if he came with a shield and I'm going to protect myself and I'm going to such, such, such. That's human nature.
Right.
When we're hurt,
mm-hmm.
we throw up a shield.
Right.
But the Bible tells us if somebody sins against you, do you wrong, what are we supposed to do? And forgive them.
Now,
you hold on.
Okay.
Now, there is some people that you love from a distance,
mm-hmm.
but you still have to have genuine love.
Right.
You know, and that's not putting up a shield. That's being careful on how you navigate with that person.
Right. Well, okay, so the thing is like this, it's not that they don't love or that they don't even care. It's just that the guard that they have is just one, let's not say that they're just not the type of person. It takes a lot. Uh-huh. In the open.
But I'm saying, okay, and that same guard that you're talking about, hold on, if you put that guard up, that guard won't stop you from getting blessed. We show ourselves friendly, but I'm not gonna be in the crowd with everybody.
Right. So would we say that? But sometimes and some people can, but that label that you.
Okay. They label me as mean. But that's okay. That's not on me. That's on the labels. That has nothing to do with me. On how you label me.
Right, but okay, so, but people would be like, why isn't he over here being friendly? That's what I'm saying. People can get mislabeled. If
brokenness can get mislabeled.
Brokenness can get mislabeled because if you're an introvert and you know, hey, listen, I'm going to keep my distance just to.
Well, okay, it's a difference if somebody's mislabeling it, but. And it's another thing if it's really brokenness.
But sometimes hearing something so constant, you will begin to examine and be like, well, dang, am I broken? I mean,
but once you examine yourself, you talk to God about yourself, and either God going to confirm it.
Right.
So examine yourself.
So why would you keep your distance? Why do you choose to keep your distance? From people, why do you not
want to
go and be in the crowd?
Because half the time, I don't like what the in crowd's talking about.
Right.
Other time is, I have so much on my mind constantly that my mind be going 100 miles an hour.
Right. Okay.
So, thank you.
So, with that being said, though, if we said, for instance, that's just the church picnic. Okay, and you over here, and you got something on your mind.
I'm at the church. I really got some problems. The whole church picnic, and I'm off in the corner by myself.
No, I'm just saying like this. Like, you just over here, and you just chose to be like, you know what? I'm just going to keep my distance. I'm just gonna keep my distance. I got a lot on my mind. So I came because I was really glad to come. And we over here and we were sitting around and we like, well, hey, what's up, Bishop Wyatt? What's going on with him? He's always in the distance. Are we mislabeling you? Are we looking at it? Because sometimes people.
But if I'm always in the, if I'm always in the distance, then no, you're not mislabeling me because I am in the distance.
But what if we're over here trying to diagnose that distance?
But we can't diagnose anybody else. We need to diagnose ourselves. So
but people get mislabeled all the time.
That's right. But okay, it's not okay. Our part is to pray for somebody,
right?
Not to diagnose them,
right?
You know, we ought to pray. We ought to lift them up,
right?
You know, but not to diagnose them, because you're right. My diagnosis could be totally wrong,
right?
What I'm seeing is brokenness could be you dealing with bereavement, and you just ain't sharing it with nobody,
right?
Because you are dealing with it in your way.
Yes.
So it's not mine to diagnose you, it's mine to pray for you.
Right. And that's for the mature. But I'm saying like this, sometimes people would look at that though. I mean, let's be honest though. Sometimes people will look more deeper into a situation than what it really is.
So you said people be nosy about somebody else's business.
So yeah, it's still the same thing. Way that you're saying that, yes,
I'm
gonna
yeah, but it says, ye who are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness. Then it say something else, don't it?
Yeah.
Finish it. Finish it for me. No, I'm finishing first.
Wait, hold on. Let me go back to that scripture. You said those that are spiritual.
Restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering
the fact that you
may what?
Might be in that same situation.
Okay. So that clarifies it. Quantifies it.
Yes. What you're speaking of, and I love this, is for the mature. I guess.
And all of us, but okay, and if we're not mature to that point yet,
right?
Then so if I'm not mature and I'm talking to Nikita and she's mature, and I'm gossiping about you, then it takes my sister. Yeah. Tell me, bro, that ain't cool. We should pray for her.
Right.
So that's why we're, come on, Jesus. That's why we're all in here at different levels.
Yes.
Like the kids, when they go to school, what does the teacher do?
I test them.
Instruct them in their lessons.
Yeah, they try to teach them. Yeah.
Okay, so those of us that are older in Christ, I'd instruct the ones that's new in Christ about how to conduct ourselves as Christians.
That's right.
How to live a right life and not a wrong life.
That's right.
How not to point at everybody else's issues, but consider ourselves, because we got issues too.
Right, that is true.
We all got issues, but it's when we start looking at it, we have a tendency to look past everything that's going on in our lives.
Yeah.
And look at everybody else.
Right.
And make everybody else the problem.
True.
When the truth of our matter is, our problems have nothing to do with anybody but us.
Right.
They have nothing to do with anybody but us. But the Bible's already told us our adversary is the devil.
Right.
My adversary ain't nobody in this room.
Right.
It's the devil.
Right.
So once we know who the enemy is,
right,
then we should know how to move and navigate. But we look at people, and just because people have allowed themselves at a point of weakness to allow the devil to use them, now you mad at somebody else, when the truth of the matter is, you still got the same enemy.
Right.
You still got the same enemy. And instead of being mad at me for what I did, you ought to be praying for me. Because you know I'm not operating the way I'm supposed to be operating.
Right.
And sometimes I just need somebody to stand in the gap for me. Does that make sense?
No, that makes absolutely sense. And I'm saying, like, we do need to all get to that point where it's not a matter of trying to on, like you said, trying to figure stuff out, because we all got our own issues, and to pray and do what the Bible says, restore.
Oh, okay, so it's 10, 15 now, am I right?
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes.
So we run that back. So we need to pray and seek his face. Turn from what?
Our evil and wicked ways.
Yes. So I wanted to go back to a residency.
Okay.
What does a resident mean to you guys?
A place that lives.
A place that lives?
I mean,
I was gonna say, you know, we got houses that really live.
Like a place where something or someone lives.
Okay, tell me something about a resident. Yo, tell me your residence. How would that be?
My residence?
Yeah.
Like my house?
Yes. So, okay, so you got your own house?
No.
Baby.
Oh.
We together now?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So you got your own house. Mm-hmm. Tell me how that would be.
How my house would be?
Yes.
Quiet.
Is that the only thing about your residence? It's just quiet.
Warm.
Go help. Warm. Okay. Quiet and warm. That's. So you got a quiet, warm, empty house.
Pretty much.
Okay. I'll go with that. What about you?
My residence would not be so inviting.
Okay.
No, okay, I'm not playing with that. No, I mean, okay. It's warm, cozy, a fun place.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Britt?
How would my house be?
Yes.
If I had my own house, how would it be?
How would your house be?
My house would be very tranquil, and when you walk,
he said very trainable.
But tranquil, and when you walk in, you kind of forget about your problems. It's just cozy.
Okay.
Good morning.
Okay.
What about your
residence?
Good morning, my brother.
Peaceful. Is that all? That's all. It's gonna be in your house. Peace.
She said, what about yours?
My house? Well, believe it or not, you know, most people wouldn't think it would be, but it would be inviting.
Okay.
Huh? It would be a place that you could sit down.
Okay.
And you could clear your mind. You could clear your mind.
Okay.
You know, and see, okay, so.
You put my shed.
Yes, So my shed is a place where I can go think.
Okay.
Get clarity.
Yes.
Talk with the Father. And that's how my residence would be. And why I'm asking y'all about residence, because at the end of the day, residence is what we see is most important.
Right.
Okay. But we take up residence in our spiritual life in things that ain't important. Did you copy that?
Yeah.
We take up in residence of what somebody think about us. We take up in residence of how they looked at us.
Yeah.
We take up in residence of somebody talking about us.
Yeah.
But we never take up residences. God loved me so much that he gave his only son. We never take up residence that I'm going to be a worshiper. We never take up residence that I'm going to be a praiser. We never take up worship and I'm a learn this Bible and I'm going to start applying this Bible to everything. Because these are my instructions. Did you hear, Hannah?
Do that seem like learn? Is that learned behavior? Like,
what are you saying?
So focused on like, oh, these people think this about me and this is going on and...
Because you would have to have some. Go ahead.
I feel like things like that are like literally strategize attacks of the enemy to throw you off of like things that are inside of you.
That's good, training.
I rest on that.
That's good.
The Bible again go back says your adversary devil walks. I don't know why we don't understand or get certain things. There's one part of the Bible that I always try to make clear to men that they never listen to. Ain't no fury like a woman scorned. Yeah, Lord have mercy. Listen to this. God took out time. I want you to think about this. He took up, I'm amazed. It's not really about y'all, but I want you to understand something. God took out time to say, hey, y'all really need to pay attention to this.
Okay.
Ain't no fury like a woman scorned. That's really saying something. But most people read something and just pass by. But for God to take out time to say, hey, this is something you need to know. Because have you ever seen an upset woman?
I've been one.
And how she just don't forget.
I've been there.
How she don't want to forgive. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So what he's saying is, be careful before you enter into this situation. You really need to look at what I'm saying. So at the same time, this is what I'm saying. When we look at the scripture, we're not really paying attention to what God's saying. God says your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking. He's looking for somebody whom he may devour. Now, I want y'all to think about devour. Because when you got your favorite food in front of you, what do you do to it?
Devour. I plan on doing that.
Okay, let's look at devour. You're going to eat it up till there's nothing left.
Right.
And when it comes out different than when it came.
Right.
Y'all ain't even caught that yet.
Oh, that's good. That's real good.
He want to devour you, get you caught up on something that don't amount to nothing, so that when you go into it, you come out totally different.
Right.
More lost.
Right.
More broken.
Right.
More distress.
Right.
More discomfort. Right. Do you understand what I'm saying? You gotta take that word and you gotta breathe life into it.
Right.
And see exactly what he said. Then he said, he desires to sift you. Have you ever seen how the stock start out? Have you ever been rolling down the street and seen that what do you call them things? Yes, and you see them stocks out there?
Yeah.
And they big and bold. But when they take them and put them in the ground, and they go through the process, he says he desired to sift you as wheat. We don't look at that.
Right.
We just read it and we go past it. But he said, I need you to study this and I need you to apply it.
Right.
Have you ever touched wheat? How granule it is? That it can pass through just about anything? Now look at yourself. What the devil want to do is take you, put you through the process, beat you up so bad that when he get through with you, you're as wheat. There's nothing left because he done beat you down so bad. There's nothing left because he done lied and told you that you don't amount to nothing and you start believing it. That's what it's telling you when it says breathe life into the word. Stop just reading it. Understand it. There's some understanding that go in when you're reading the Bible. We keep passing by it and we don't see it. When he tells you your adversary is the devil. It ain't nobody else. I don't care how he try and paint it up. I don't care how he try and make it look. Your enemy is the devil. Yes, do people around you sometimes let the devil use them? Yes, but they're not the enemy. He's the enemy.
Right.
You need to pray for them.
Right. But sometimes though, the enemy affects you at a young age. I mean, when we get to the turning point in our life as believers.
Okay, so I'm gonna hold you up right there. Now I'm going to use my girl. Come here. Come here. See, what are you finna do? Okay. Naquita, bow, stand, send them out of you, a fighter, right? Okay. Let me ask you something about fighting. In fighting, is it fair? Mm-mm. Does age matter? Why not? So if me and you gonna get in a fight and I take this jacket and I start taking, you gonna wait for me to take it off? Mm-mm. Why not?
She's gonna pull it over your eyes.
Because I need the advantage. Yeah.
You call it that?
Yes. And I get that. I know. Don't get me wrong.
It don't matter what age you are. It don't matter. He said, he's seeking whom he may devour. He don't care that you 12. He don't care that you 14. I'm touch you and say, ooh, she seem good enough to eat.
Right.
And he gonna devour you.
But what I'm saying though, in that.
You sit down, baby.
In that growing state, of course, we know who the enemy uses, whoever is open to be used by him. We get that. But let's just say that a lot of times though, a lot of brokenness happened in childhood ages.
But
we couldn't recognize the person that the enemy was using.
So let's go back to the scripture you said.
When I was a child, I faith and reason as a child. But when I became a man, woman, I put away childish things.
Okay, so there's some things that's gonna happen to us. Y'all be talking about that closure. There's some things. Who out in here need closure? Be honest. You need some closure. Who else?
Closure with what?
With some situation or something.
Like something that somebody offended you or something happened, traumatized you.
Back then I did. But now, the offense was the closure. And me forgiving and letting that go. I don't need it. You ain't got to explain the reason why you did it. I know. I'll take it for what it is.
Okay. This is what I need y'all to understand. We got to start talking about culture. If I'm broken,
mm-hmm.
and I hurt you, I'm already in a bad place.
Right.
If I wasn't broken, if I was of God and I realized I hurt you, what would I do?
Apologize.
I would apologize. Why?
Because that's the right thing to do.
Because that's the right thing to do. But if I hurt you, I'm outside of the will. I don't walk nowhere around the church. I don't have no remnants of God around me.
Right.
How do you expect closure from somebody who is broken? Y'all not using this. If they broke, how they gonna give you closure?
Right. But that human side of us do be wanting now.
Well, you need to quit feeding the flesh.
From a spiritual aspect, I know, yes. I have to tap into that maturity. But I'm not gonna lie though, that human side
is wanting
to look for like why, because you wanna know that why. But what did I do to you?
Okay. But I'm going to tell you how to get your closure.
Right.
You need to go to God. Mm-hmm. And you need to ask God to fix them wounds.
Yeah.
You need to ask God to make the crooked road straight.
Right.
And this is the hard part. You don't need to get mad at that person. But you need to pray for them. And you need to lift them up.
Now, I am at that point.
I am at that point. Now, back then,
I think it takes time.
Everything takes time. 30, 40, 50. It took time to get there. Okay. So when we first came out, our parents dressed us, right?
Right.
Mama used to dress us in grandmas. I have a brother named Damone. She used to dress us like we was twins. That's part of it. You're right. She dressed us like we were twins, but we ain't twins.
Right.
But when I grew up and then I started dressing myself, I experiment on different ways to, you did it too, right? I experimented on different ways to dress. But when I came into my own, I realized this is how I wanted to dress. This is the image I wanted to portray. The same with your spiritual life. Allow God to dress you up. Be the person that you're supposed to be in Him and stop trying to dress yourself. Because every time you dress yourself, you make a mistake. Look, Izzy get up in the morning and Izzy decide he want to dress Izzy. Izzy got on 10 colors and he only got on 2 things, a pants and a shirt. So, oh, come on. Do you think we want him to go out the house like that?
No.
Why?
Because it don't look right.
And he represent who?
He represents y'all.
Y'all better come on. So, God wants to dress you up so that when he looks at you, he sees a ready product.
Right.
He sees somebody that's ready and able to go out there and face the world.
Right.
And guess what you're doing? You representing him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ain't caught it yet. So he giving you the tools necessary to do what he needs you to do.
Right.
All you gotta do is press in on him. Press in on him. And quit pressing away from him. Because it's only when we press in that we discover that God is everything we need. It's only when we press in that we discover that a good prayer life helps everything else. It's when we press in and we understand that, we can sing that song, my worship is for real, when we press in. But we don't want to press into God, we keep pressing in the mess. But listen, I got an officer, and he works at the dump. And he works at the dump, and he's been working there so long. Oh, come on, Jesus.
He's saying?
Yeah. See, that's what y'all ain't understanding. Oh, Lord, come on. This is good. You've been waddling around in sin so long, you don't even understand it. We have to touch him on the shoulder every now and then and tell him, hey, probably need to take a bath before you come out here after you've been there.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't caught that yet, hey. You've been waddling in sin so long, depression so long, that you don't even understand that you stink. And every now and then, God got to touch you on your shoulder and remind you that you don't smell like me. Remind you that you're not walking like me.
Wow.
Because yeah. God is a sweet, sweet spirit.
Yeah.
And when we do anything that's contrary to what how he told us to live our life, we're not lining up with his word. We're not lining up with his will. So how are you going to be blessed?
We listen to the Spirit of God who pricks our conscience, who tells us this is the path. And if we go this way and the Spirit says this way, now our conscience should bother us.
Yes.
Come
thank
on.
You, Lord. Thank you, God. Mm-hmm.
We're in Malachi 2 or 3?
He will be in our midst.
Come on. So, it's not a good position to stay broken. But we got to realize we're broken. And once we realize we're broken, don't try and fix yourself. Because you ain't got them tools. I work on cars. And the one thing I found out is that when I'm working on my car, sometimes there's some tools that I don't have. And in order to get them tools, I got to go to a Riley's.
Yeah.
An AutoZone to get the tools necessary. When working on yourself, there's some tools you ain't got. And in order to get the right tools, you got to go to the right place.
That's right.
Huh? I like Timo, but I can't buy my tools to fix my car. I'll Timo. Because they going to break. But if I go, y'all ain't even college yet. Y'all, you keep going over to your friend's house, borrowing tools from them. And they too didn't even look at the tool they gave you. The tool was distress. You didn't look at the tool they gave you. Heartache. And you done took the tool home with you. Now you got some distress and some heartache going on, and you wondering why. That's because you didn't go to the right person to get the tools.
That's right.
That's right. God got what you need. He said, how I get it? Get a better prayer life.
Right.
Yes.
Get a better worship.
Yes.
Stop just reading the word and looking at it.
Right.
But apply it. Make it breathe to you. Because
right.
I don't see how y'all looking at certain scriptures and you still ain't got a desire to sift you like wheat.
Sure.
Right. You ain't never seen them stocks out there in the field. Big stocks. But when you get ready to serve it up, it's a bag. And it's fine. So he grinded it up. That's what the devil wants to grind you up.
Yes.
To where you're not strong anymore. Because it's not standing up very strong. It's standing up big and strong. It's letting you know it's out there. I'm a stock. But he wanna grind you. You gotta start really looking at that word for what it says. And when you look at it and you see what it's saying, there's no way how we can keep doing the things that we do. Keep walking the walks that we walk. Because he said, I'm gonna make it light to you, which means you gonna understand it. If any man lack wisdom,
let him ask for
it.
Amen?
Amen.
Pray for us again. Let's go to the next service.
Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for this day, a day that was not promised. God, we thank you for allowing us to be here, Father. We thank you for the activities of our body, Father. We don't want to take anything for granted today. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you for the greatest gift, which is your son, Father. We don't deserve it, Father. We just want to say thank you, God. We just ask that as we go throughout this service today, that we just set ourselves down. It is just, it's all about you. We want to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. We don't want to think about any of our problems, any of our circumstances, God. We just want to give you praise today. We thank you, God, for the words that have gone on today. May we just resonate on them and learn something from them, God. You know, not fall on deaf ears, God. We just thank you for all those that are here today. We thank you for those
yes.
that are on the way, Father. We thank you for those that wanted to be here but couldn't, God. We just invite the Holy Spirit into this service on today,
yes.
Father. We just thank you. Thank you for everything that you are doing in our lives. Whether it's good, bad, or ugly, we know that it's all working for the good. And we just want to say thank you. As we go on today, we just ask that we just keep you in mind, everything that we say and do. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Somebody's
Yes. Thank you.